And I want to welcome Tanya and Jody to the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're here to talk community energy whangaroa, which, Jody, you were here with Rick last year.
Yeah, I think it was end of last year.
Right. Yeah, we couldn't quite work that out, but it doesn't matter. For people who have vaguely heard of community energy whangaroa but have maybe forgotten or haven't heard at all, tell us just what it is.
Okay. So community energy whangaroa comes under the umbrella of the Extreme Zero Waste Charitable Trust.
Yes.
So they uphold our environmental social values, and much like Extreme have paved the pathway for zero waste in our community, community energy whangaroa are here to create sort of local specific responses to the way that we generate and the way that we use energy in our community.
So there has been, people might be familiar with a few people putting solar panels on their roofs and being part of a scheme, but is that the same thing or is that a different thing?
That's a different thing. You might be thinking of Raglan Local Energy,
yeah,
which started up a couple of years ago, and
yeah,
they were more of a retailer. We are not running as a retailer.
Yeah.
We have...
So it's a different project.
It's a different project.
Entirely, yeah.
Yeah, and we have tried to separate those projects by, so Our Energy is the name of the old group that were a retailer,
yeah,
and are now still working in Raglan space.
It got really confusing.
They're not actually local though.
Yeah, it got really confusing because there was also Our Power, which Well Energy Trust had set up and was doing cheap electricity for people in need and also community groups like us, and that's changed because the Well Energy Trust changed. That's gone. So I used to get that mixed up with Our Energy, but that was it was a disruptive market thing that was good for all of us, but for someone out of town. This is neither of those things.
No, so we're not a retail provider.
Yeah,
we are a community energy organisation. So we're working to make our community more resilient to the impacts of energy in our lives. So our focus areas are around generation. So one of the areas is generation. How can we have more renewable energy generation within our community? So we have done some solar installs.
Right.
And we've used our local expert, Stendi, to install panels on the processing building up at Extreme.
Yeah, so that's the new building.
That's the new building.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that scheme works is that... Extreme get a reduced rate for the energy that they use from the panels, and community energy get the surplus that is exported back to the grid.
Okay.
So the idea with the solar installs is that we're creating more renewable energy within Raglan, and we're also trying to find a way for community energy whangaroa to be financially sustainable as an organisation.
Yeah.
So those surpluses that go back to the grid, that get exported back to the grid, go to running our programs that we're going to talk more about today.
Okay.
And we don't just have that installs. We also have the install up at the community house, which people might have seen as you drive through town.
So two.
So we have two at the moment.
Are you looking to do more?
We are looking at doing more, and we've learned a lot from those two installs. We do have other local businesses really interested, which is super cool. But we have also found that economies of scale are quite important with solar. So one thing that we've been looking into is the feasibility of going bigger with a solar ground mount solar install on some land out in Te Uku and combining that with food production. So having clean energy with food production, so like a whangaroa solar garden kind of project, which is quite an exciting one, I think.
A garden under the panels?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's probably not what we're here to get into, but there's people...
Yeah, that just explains a little bit more about the generation side of our project. The other focus area we have is around storage. So we're working with another... local expert, Neil Darwin. He's an electrical engineer with his business's Infinite Monkey Lab. And he's developed...
that sounds like his personal vibe, doesn't it?
Oh, he's awesome. And he's developed for us a battery system out of retired EV batteries, Nissan Leaf batteries.
Yeah.
So the idea is, well, that's a research and development project that looks at how we can develop more ecologically sound, better batteries that are more ecologically, have a lower ecological footprint, sorry,
yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say,
so these
than
are batteries
off-the-shelf
that,
batteries.
Yeah, so they're not much use in a car anymore, but they still have life in them.
Yeah, that's right. And there's more and more of these batteries, right, as more and more people are buying up EVs in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And so finding creative ways to keep them in use is will be really helpful. And community energy are also always looking at how can we then, if we combine generation, so solar, with these community batteries, retired EV batteries, can we then have community civil defence centres where if the power goes down, for instance, in Raglan, there's somewhere off the grid where people could come and charge and phones and turn on lights and maybe even charge cars and have access to resources.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about generators at the moment in the civil defence area.
Yeah.
Because we have generators for our civil defence equipment, right. And we're very bad at looking after them. And the petrol goes off because we don't, yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if you had solar on the roof?
Yeah, if we didn't have to worry, yeah. Because we obviously have a problem being reliable. Well, I do. It's my fault that I'm kind of quite busy, so I have other priorities. I'm not a maintenance kind of guy. So, yeah, it's just a little thing that comes up that's important, but these are the complications of our life, I guess.
Mm.
And solar and batteries would solve that.
Yeah, I guess it's not important until there's a major weather event, you know, and then it's all.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about these things
all
the time.
Resilience is part of your kind of remit, isn't it, to think about resilience?
Definitely. And something like our own generation and storage has great potential for community and climate resilience, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other two focus areas is around energy efficiency. So supporting behaviour change and how we use our energy in our homes and businesses.
Yeah.
And also healthy homes. So how can we improve the quality and performance of the homes that we have? And that sort of leads me into Tania Ashman, who's here with me also.
Tania, are you still cold?
I'm warming up.
I think we
it
need
was
to
a very long wait
do
for
something
the...
about how cold the town hall is in winter.
It was a very long wait for the bus this morning.
Oh, I see. Bus was late?
No, I was early.
You were early.
So I didn't miss this important appointment.
Thank you for your consideration. So Tania, what part are you playing in community energy at the moment?
So what part I'm playing is I am lucky enough to be encouraging people to consider some training that Community Energy, Whangaroa and Whangaroa Raglan Accessible Housing...
Affordable housing
yeah. project have funded together. So they're funding together some really good education training. So we have the opportunity for three people to do the Home Performance Advisor certification training, which is a fantastic qualification to have if you're interested in home efficiency, home performance, how much energy a house needs to keep it at certain temperatures, behaviours that make the energy that's going into your house, you can use it more efficiently and prioritise it so that your home is healthy. So that's one of the trainings that's available. And that's nationally recognised. People get employed in a variety of settings doing home assessments, insulation installs, community education. So that's that one. And the other one is called Healthy Homes, Making Energy Work for Whānau. And that is good skill to have in your kit there if you are a community worker, a financial mentor, or supporting families.
Okay. So we've still got lots of homes that aren't performing well around these parts? Okay, we do. I take that as a yes.
New Zealand as a whole doesn't have well-performing homes. Even our new builds are still not performing up to the standards that we'd like to see. But certainly our older homes are very cold, and we do have quite an issue with humidity, dampness in our homes as well.
I know there's been a lot of attempts to do things. There's been, like, you can get insulation for a part of the cost. There was a program for that for a while. And there was, I know the Environment Centre ran a curtain bank at one point.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
think either of it, because Jody, you were at the Environment Centre years ago, weren't you? Like, you were one of the Jodies at the Environment. There were two Jodies at the Environment. Now I remember. Yeah, two Jodies at the Environment Centre. It was very confusing for everybody. Not that that's not very important right now. So there's still lots of homes to worry about, lots of people needing help. So, but this is an advisory service that you guys are starting up?
We're really just developing capacity in our community first. So this training provides skills for these individuals that they can use in the capacity that they're already working. But we're also looking at stage two. So this is sort of what we're calling stage one, platform for change, really, isn't it?
Yeah, finding our local champions.
Yes.
Okay. And stage two would be going out and actually doing the assessments and retrofits.
Okay. Mm. So would the retrofits, are they going to be subsidised? Do we know? There's not usually need government help for things like that, but I imagine people are wondering if that's what might be happening.
Mm. We think there's opportunities coming, and so we are always on the lookout for those opportunities, funding opportunities, so that we can extend it out as much as we can within the community.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But I know there's some things you can do quite cheaply involving curtains or stopping heat getting out from behind the curtains and things like that, that I imagine there'll be advice.
Yeah. So we've also got some workshops coming up.
Oh, yeah?
That will provide that sort of information. So the first one is, we're calling it Home Sweet Home, and it really is just looking at home performance, healthy homes legislation, sort of aimed at, it's aimed at tenants, landlords, homeowners, and anyone who lives in a house. So...
because there's not everybody these days, but
which isn't everybody, or maybe aspires to live in a house. So everyone, and what we'll be covering in that is the basics of how a home works, what the issues are in New Zealand. As I said, humidity is a major factor, and why it's really important that we keep our homes dry and healthy. Looking at the healthy homes legislation. Understanding how it benefits not only tenants but landlords as well, and if you're a homeowner, the sort of minimum standard everyone should be looking at in their own homes, and that will be facilitated by Ian Mays, our local eco design advisor, and he is also one of the trainers for the Home Performance Advisor certification courses. If anyone knows Ian Mays, it'll be fun and informative. And sometimes challenging. And there'll also be, you'll have the opportunity to meet some of our trainees and some other local experts from Community Energy Whangaroa as well.
Mm. I know there's worries out there that the healthy homes legislation is going to price some landlords out of the market. But like they'll be, it's just too expensive to do this, throw their hands up in the air. Perhaps there are some cost-effective ideas out there that they could be helped with. I don't know. We didn't plan to talk about this, but this has just occurred to me now.
There's most probably two views on that about landlords who will throw their hands up in the air. And if you come along to our Home Sweet Home, there'll be opportunity to discuss that. But please remember, when we're providing a home for a tenant, we're providing a major service that can affect their health.
Mm.
So we do have responsibility in the same way a restaurant has responsibility to provide really healthy, you know, food that's not going to cause sickness. And also there are many ways that landlords are if they're in the to make money, it's quite good if they're thinking about it in the long term rather than short term gains.
Yeah, okay. The healthier that So the home itself is healthier, not just the people.
Yes.
But the home itself is healthier.
We need help. Yes.
Yeah, like it'll last longer.
It'll last longer. It'll be a good investment.
Yeah.
And if you have tenants who are healthy, they're more likely to stay put in that home. They're more likely to be able to hone down jobs, etc., which actually also safeguards your investment if you're a landlord.
Cool. Jodie, is that everything? You've got lots of bits of paper here with highlights on them. Is there more that you want to share with us?
I'm just looking at the Healthy Homes program. Well, should we talk a little about – there's another workshop too that we haven't talked about that will run after Home Sweet Home, which is The Power of Change.
Yes.
And I think that one is going to be really exciting for people to come along and get some tools to take home with them and maybe even have some assessment time with one of the assessors.
Mm. So after we've done our after folk have had the opportunity to go through the training, we'll be running some – just two workshops, but it's the beginning – and there they'll it'll be small workshops, a lot more interactive, opportunity to go once again through home performance, and a lot more emphasis on the things that you can do that are easy, affordable, and will make a difference for your power consumption, your energy consumption, and why and where you could prioritize your energy consumption to keep your household, its occupants, all healthy. And alongside that, we will be providing some basic tools for people to take home to utilise. So what we call a hygrometer, which is a fancy name for something that measures the humidity and temperature. If you don't know what's happening in your home, how can you measure your changes that you've put in place and how effective they are? We'll also be providing things like hot water cylinder wraps to keep the water hot, we all love the old linen cupboard, but actually that's just leaking energy, you know, that warm linen cupboard, it's just leaking energy, so we want to keep that energy in the water.
It'll lower your power bills.
Things like shower restrictors and
use less hot water.
And hot water in the shower can go through a massive amount. And we'll do some calculations just so that everyone goes, right, no one is having 10-minute showers anymore.
Because you're also paying for the water as well.
Yes.
For the water and the heating of the water these days.
So we can show people how to measure how much water is coming through, put the restrictors on, measure the water again. There's also little aerators that you can put on taps that restricts the amount of water that's coming through, but makes it feel really nice so that you don't lose that comfort and feel that you've got lots of water on your hands or on your body.
Okay.
Draft stoppers, how to hang curtains, light bulbs. I always forget about light
cheap
bulbs.
Cheap light bulbs or LEDs instead of LEDs. Other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you see, we've got lots of LEDs in here. You'd probably be horrified at our electricity usage in this room.
Those are still quite tiny, actually, your little flashy lights.
Yeah, we've got little fairy lights everywhere now.
Thankfully most people have moved on to LEDs, so that's a great move that most households have now got. But there's the odd little more expensive light bulb sitting there that could be changed.
Well, there's a lot of down lights. I don't know if they move. Did the LEDs get into the down lights? Like those halogen down lights, they got hot.
They were major energy suckers. And also looking at the types of down lights you have, some of those were just great big gaps in your ceiling where you couldn't even butt the insulation up against them.
No, otherwise it would get even hotter and explode the light, so you had to have a gap around it.
Yes, so you just basically had holes in your ceiling out to the environment. So and we're not actually very keen on those.
Now, I remember I was taught this once, that a small gap in a ceiling makes a huge difference to the effectiveness of the insulation in the ceiling. So, yeah, that would have been hopeless. Yeah, okay, all right. So we're sort of coming to the end. Can we sum up? So you're looking for some people to train up
to have these skills so that they can give this sort of advice either in the areas that they're already working, but we're also wanting to increase the capacity of our local population so that when we get onto stage two of our programs, we know who to go to employ to do this further work.
Okay. And you also got some workshops.
Yes.
And when's the first workshop?
First workshop is still, I have to go to the old school to find out, and they've got dates.
Okay.
But we're
so
looking
it's a few
at
weeks away then.
Few weeks. End of June, early July for the first workshops.
And these will be tips on how to make your home healthier. Use less electricity.
Yes. Okay. And why we really need to do it.
yeah. The motivating statistics will be given.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, thank you for coming in. We've been talking to Tanya. You might have heard Tanya in the studio talking about, what else have you been talking about in the studio?
Mainly about food growing and food resilience.
Yeah. So,
my other hat.
Yes. Many hats. And Jody, thank you for coming in. And you are like the manager of, or project coordinator.
That's right.
For project Community Energy Whangaroa.
Yes, project coordinator.
And what are you up to next? Like, you're helping get these things going as well, I guess.
Yeah, so we're looking at the generation side of things, and we're also looking for funding to connect the battery that's all ready to go up at Extreme.
Okay.
So that's the
you
retired
just need some wires.
EV battery. So Stendi's going to connect that up for us. But we're just looking for some funding to make that happen.
And you don't need to hear from some rich philanthropist. That would be handy.
That would be really handy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like you've got a piece of land worked out for putting solar panels on, because I think that was a question last time, but it sounds like you've got that.
We've
sorted.
Got a potential piece of land, yeah, and we're doing a study at the moment to figure out the feasibility of it.
Okay. All right. Well, look, thank you for coming in. Good to catch up with you guys. I know this project's been bubbling away in the background, so it's good to catch up and just see where it's at the moment, see there's been some progress.
If people are wanting to apply for the training that Tanya's talking about, there's information on our Facebook page, Community Energy Whangaroa Facebook page, and so definitely head along there and you can find the contacts.
That would be good.
For Tanya.
Yep. Yeah. And as soon as possible.
Or email tanya@cewh.org.nz.
All right, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right, folks, end of the show for the day. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back again tomorrow morning.